May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The New Testament reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew, familiar words from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I invite you to listen for the word of God. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. All Saints Day is always such a special occasion for me to think on those whose lives have helped point me in the life-giving direction, set me on a course toward beloved community, toward the realm and reign of God. Plus, I'm the sort of person who just loves processions. So on All Saints Day, I picture this long story of faithful people who have been walking in the love of God from the beginning of everything. And I think of my place in that procession. Processions of all kinds make me weepy. I don't know whether I'm just at that weepy stage of life or what, but it's always sort of been the case. I get teary at processions, at parades, something about everyone walking in the same direction, the community coming together in celebration of something. I get weepy at protest marches, the idea of people coming together, passionate about something, wanting to stand, and especially when they're walking in a direction. I find myself overcome with a sense of the privilege of being a part of a movement larger than myself, a sense of assurance in knowing that it comes long before I showed up on the scene and that it will carry on after I'm gone. I had the great privilege in the, well, do you remember back in the day, we thought all the computers of the world were going to crash at the new year in 2000. It was this whole Y2K thing, some story about not enough digits being programmed into the, this was so strange. Our grapplers are here. This is like ancient history. This was a strange moment when the world, there was genuine fear that like global banking structures would suddenly cease to function. So I decided for New Year's Eve in Y2K, I wanted to go out to the desert. And I joined with a group called the Nevada Desert Experience that for generations has been protesting nuclear weapons at the test site that's not too far from Las Vegas. And so in that Y2K year when terror and fear was gripping the world, I decided to go out sort of to the wilderness. This group of faithful Christian protesters has been protesting there really for generations, and they had a very well-established relationship with the Department of Energy Security, who marked the border of that property. Folks were frequently going there to protest, to demonstrate, to get arrested, to lodge a protest against our continual testing of nuclear weapons, even at subcritical levels. So the protest that night was planned to be at midnight. So we were going to be walking to the edge, the property marked by a fence and a line there, and in very orderly groups of 4 to 8 crossing over the line and then being taken off to be held for arrest. But there were so many of us that day. Martin Sheen was with us, and he was at that time president on TV. So it was like we had the president with us. Anyway, we lined up in the desert and prayed together, and then holding candles made a literal long line that stretched out for yards and yards and yards, sort of further than you could quite make sense of. And we were standing holding candles in the dark of the night in this moment of transition from one year to the next, maybe from the functioning world to a global systems meltdown, who knows. But standing there holding that candle in what was a visible line of people stretching out across the desert, I felt the gift of being one faithful person standing in a long legacy of Christians, of people of faith who have allowed our faith to be a reason that we stand for something, that we show up and witness, that we light candles and pray for peace and do whatever small thing is available to us to mark that there is another world that's possible, a different way of being in this world that's possible, another way of standing together as children of God, directed not to mutual assured destruction, but to a reign and realm of peace. I think of those processions every time I walk down this aisle, and I like that it's blue now. because it makes me think of the waters of the river of life, another poetic and visual image that allows us to see the flow of God's love, the flow of the work and witness for justice and peace that comes from before we're aware of it and that we'll continue to run on after. I like to imagine this is the waters of the river of life leading us up here today to the communion table, leading us together toward God. Processions always capture my heart, make me emotional, help me believe that I'm a part of something that matters, that's headed in a different direction than seems inevitable, a direction that points instead toward mercy, toward forgiveness, toward justice, peace, and love. I love that the Beatitudes from Matthew's Gospel are the text that we're given for this All Saints Day, because they, as well as any piece of scripture, mark the difference between the direction we're headed and what seems probable and even inevitable in the world. In this litany of named blessings, we see an elevation of something that's counterintuitive. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Greek word translated into English as blessed, makarios, can also be translated differently. Perhaps you learned these verses translated as happy. Happy are the peacemakers. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy, blessed. The Greek word makarios might also be translated differently as honored or elevated, esteemed, full of life and joyous, are the ones who are merciful and pure in heart and working to make peace. Esteemed, honored, happy, and blessed are those who mourn, who've let their hearts break for the inevitable devastation of love, for the frailty and vulnerability of these lives we lead. Blessed, happy, honored, and esteemed are those who organize their lives around a different set of priorities, not what tends toward our own individual gain, but what lives out the love of God. We have each other to help in this journey. We're set on this path, on this procession, if you will, toward beloved community by a God who's given us one another to help witness and strengthen our continual movement in the direction of love. And while every person we remember, alongside the ways that they showed us what love looked like, got a few things wrong as well, fell short in some ways, and was an incomplete showing of the fullness of divine love, something about this accumulation, the singing of the full choir, the coming together of the whole of the parade, points us in a direction that leads to mercy and peace and justice and love. And by God, we need that in the world today. There is so much hurt and violence, war-making and war-mongering in the world around us, and it becomes increasingly difficult to, in a consistent and nuanced ways, stake out a claim for the dignity of every human life, for the belovedness of every child of God, for our hatred of every act of violence, and our belief in the capacity and the possibility of peace everywhere. We need reminders to keep us on a path that is consistent. Jesus, as he offers the Sermon on the Mount, understands that it's not always going to be received clearly, appreciated in its own time. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, he says. Happy are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. A reminder that the goal of our work is not to be popular or esteemed or elevated, but something else, to be faithful. To be faithful to the call and draw of love. I give thanks for so many people who've showed me what love can look like in lives like our own. People whose faithful witness assures me that folk like us can do the work of holy living. People like us can be the ones who get some things right, primarily as we choose to live toward the direction of God and one another, toward the direction of compassion and justice and love. I think of the saints that we named today. I remember and celebrate Bob Wessling, whose dry humor sometimes caught me off guard, who believed in the righteousness of worship that doesn't last any more than 1 hour, and also who understood a value on community and mentorship and family, a set of priorities other than the priorities that would be automatic from his work as an esteemed lawyer in our community. The Los Angeles Times did a piece about lawyers taking sabbaticals. He was the first in his firm to take a sabbatical. And the piece was written in description of why it's a good idea for lawyers to take sabbaticals. And the main set of arguments in this piece were about how it's helpful for long-term, like, productivity to take periods of rest. But then they interviewed Bob, and his quote was near the end of the piece, and he said, "I just wanted to spend time with my family. My girls aren't going to be this age forever." He understood a set of priorities that were different from the ones set before him by the goals of his work. He understood a fullness and wholeness of life that's lived not just in accomplishment of professional gain, but in a full embodiment, a more full embodiment of what life can be when we belong to and with one another. I think of saints like Deborah Engel, who was an actor and loved theater, who brought that with her to work in schools, loving the opportunity to help young people become fully alive through the arts, through the gifts of theater, through finding and sharing their voice. She was a person who lived toward the well-being of others, humans and creatures, whose life showed a quality of humility that was a gift to us all. I think of saints like Mindy Jones, who we just lost so recently, whose professional work with a charitable foundation made a difference for our community, but who I experienced to live with a thoughtfulness and a care for others that really mattered, who took community seriously, who respected her own dignity and the dignity of others, and lived with an inspiring care for the well-being of the community. There are other saints who you're thinking of today, people who lived long lives and far too short of lives, people whose memory fills us with grief and also inspires us to be people of meaning, people who prioritize the right things, people who stand in the procession at a place that leads us toward love, that points us toward beloved community, that helps us inhabit a world for the sake of others, for the sake of the well-being and the flourishing of the whole. Something about our own limitation, our own mortality and vulnerability is for me a galvanizing power that makes me want to make a difference with the moments I have here on earth. I want to hold the candle while I can and let my footsteps walk in pathways that demonstrate the things I value, that speak of mutuality and compassion, that stand up for the sake of justice, that build a legacy, set a direction toward the reign of God. The invitation of the church always is to do our part to faithfully steward this period of time in this longer movement toward the reign of God. And on this Sunday, as we celebrate and remember the saints who've gone before us, as we come to the communion table to taste and know a grace available for us here today, we take our place in this procession, trusting that having tasted the grace of God, we will be changed again and again, our hearts turned just a little more powerfully toward love, our lives set, our steps marked with just a little more determination toward the belief that the reign of God is possible, that justice is attainable, that peace is possible here in a world of far too much violence. And so whether this morning you feel ready to come to join a memorial procession, to honor the sadness and grief that we carry with us as humans who have loved and lost, or whether you're ready to join a joyous parade to celebrate that we have a way that we're headed, a place that we're going, a home in God that invites us to know that we are loved and so is everyone else. We're invited this morning to take our place in that procession, to let our stride walk alongside the witnesses of others, headed in the same direction toward the fullness of love and justice. This morning, may we taste and know and walk that pathway that leads to the reign of love. May it be so. Amen.